Hey, it's Tony and Jenny Brewski from Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like this show, please consider helping us keep it on the air by becoming an EPP, that's an extra podcast person. You get a ton of bonus episodes and a brand new one every single week and exclusive video content as well.
It's only $5 a month and you can sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com.
Without our EPPs, this show could not go on and our expenses to keep the show going continue to go up. So if you like it and you want it to continue into the future, please consider signing up at realghoststoriesonline.com. Get all of those exclusives. I can guarantee you will absolutely love them.
Thanks for helping keep Real Ghost Stories Online on the air.
If you're already an EPP, thank you so much for the support. If you're not and you've been thinking about signing up, please do so now and allow us to continue to do this show for you every single day. Sign up to be an EPP on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. And thank you so much for the support.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, a new baby brings the family together, even those that have passed on. Something seems to be checking on the baby while she is in her crib. Two cousins believe their grandparents haunt their home, and they have found a way to know when they are present. And could a listener have seen the ghost of a dog running down the street after her? Those stories, your calls, and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again.
Hi there.
Hi, how are you doing this fine day?
I'm fine. How are you?
I am peachy keen.
Yeah.
Roasting away in the summer months. I do enjoy the little air conditioner here in the office. It does keep me nice and chilly.
Yeah, it does. It does a good job.
One of those things where, you know, you put the little tiny unit in and you think, I don't know if this will do all that great. It's nice. This is like the coolest room in the house.
Yeah.
I enjoy it. It's kind of chilly. Make some ice cubes right on the desk. It's great fun. All right. We got some good stuff today. I'm excited about it. Let's go right into our first letter today. Of course, if you want to write into the show, just go to realghoststoriesonline.com and click tell us your ghost story. Or, of course, you can also call in at 855-853-4802. So lots of ways to get stories to us. First letter comes to us from Christina. When our loved ones die, we always hope they find peace. My grandpa was a strong man, a Filipino native who raised up a huge family with his wife and watched them prosper in America. In his late 80s, he still worked in a military base and took the role as the man of the family till his passing. My mother and I still wonder how much time more he would have had with us if we didn't push him to have a surgery that was supposed to extend his time with us on Earth. Sometimes it hurts to reflect upon it because it makes us blame ourselves for losing him, but we knew there could be complications, and so did he. Hospitals are always a foreboding place to visit, no matter what the reason is to be there. My grandpa could barely speak, but would still make us laugh by trying hard to write. More of scribbles, really. Jokes on a piece of paper. It was a crushing blow to us all to watch him fade, and then it all stopped, and he was gone. I assumed he found peace because what granddaughter raised Catholic wouldn't? My cousin delivered her baby soon after his passing. This baby girl brought smiles back onto our faces and helped us ease from our grieving. On the baby's first night home, my cousin asked my aunt to get the baby from the crib upstairs. My aunt reached the entrance to the bedroom at the top of the stairs and then stopped. She could see a shadow of a figure over the crib. She assumed it was a family member who was watching the baby sleep or something like that. She began to step into the room to turn on the light when suddenly the figure was gone. Nothing theatrical like a puff of smoke or a grimacing look before disappearing, just there over the crib and gone. My aunt is certain it was my grandpa saying hello to the newest generation. But I hope not. If it is him, does that mean he didn't find peace? Does that mean the hope for heaven doesn't exist, or heaven is just another void connected to earth? My biggest fear is, what if it wasn't my grandpa? Who was that figure over our newborn baby? And was that a sign of blessing or an omen? Since then, she has lived a normal childhood, but I always keep a watchful eye for the shadow that came to see her on her first night home.
We've had numerous stories, and some of our real sensitive friends, and, you know, they're pretty much mediums, have told us that a lot of times people will kind of go around and almost do their death visits and say their goodbyes after they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
And it's for a brief period, and then they do go on into the light, wherever
sure.
that, you know,
mm-hmm.
takes them in their belief system. But, you know, I don't think that means that he's just doomed to do that forever. I do believe people have the choice whether or not they go into the light or they stick around.
Mm-hmm.
And they may be confused by that, but if it didn't keep on and,
yeah.
you know, you didn't have that presence still there, I would imagine that it probably was the grandfather and it probably won't continue.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing where, I mean, I think you could have, for some, it's probably an individual thing. He could be at peace watching over his family.
Mm-hmm.
If that's what he wants to do, or it could have been the visit thing. But I mean, someone could be at peace in that realm because maybe they have a little bit more control than we are aware of, you know, on that side. And that kind of gives them some peace, and it gives them peace of mind being able to look out for their loved ones.
Mm-hmm.
Still, does that mean that the heaven doesn't exist? No, I mean, I just think it's kind of like you said. I mean, I'm kind of under the assumption there's maybe a choice there of when you want to transition into some other plane or hang out here longer.
Yeah.
Or some don't even know how to transition. Or maybe there's still some work to be done here, and then they'll still figure it out. Their journey is still continuing here. Biggest fear of it not being the grandpa? Well, that wouldn't be all that great now, would it? But
yeah.
But there was nothing else that happened either. It seems like... I know, based on this specific story, it sounds more like it was a last visit than it was a, I'm going to sit here and continue to watch you.
That or anything else that decided to show itself.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, I just think it'd be too much of a coincidence that you have a recent death in the mm-hmm. family and then you have somebody, you know, hanging out looking at the new baby that they never got to meet.
Yeah, I agree. So I don't think it's anything really to be worried about. I think she'll grow up just fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she'll be... You know, talking about shadow people all the time, but that's fine.
You can be normal and do that.
It's no worse than us. E writes in, my name is E, and I live in Downriver, Michigan, just south of Detroit. I purchased a home in January of 2014. This house was built in 2008. Still fairly new. That summer, I was at work. My wife was home with the kids. We had just had a baby girl. She was taking time off work. I received a call from her, and she seemed really scared. By the way, the house was a two-story home. She tells me, hey, I think someone just broke in and is closing and opening all the cabinets in the kitchen. So I quickly rushed home, walked in, checked windows, doors. There's no sign of forced entry. Nothing. It seemed like someone had been inside, and she swore the cabinets were being opened and closed hard. The house has wood floors, and from time to time, we hear the floors creak as if someone is walking in the hall in my son's room. Always gives me a weird vibe. Sometimes I can see shadows in the corner of my eyes. Also, yesterday, late in the day, I put my baby girl in her crib. Closed the door, left it cracked about half an inch, so I come down and start hearing her mumble. She's 11 months old, so I go back up, check, and the door is wide open, and she's standing up in her crib. It just didn't seem right. There's no way she could have opened it. She was nowhere near the door. No windows were open. Nothing could have possibly opened the door. I'd like to know what you guys think about this. I have tons of stories. My family's had a lot of paranormal episodes, including when my grandfather was on his deathbed. So I heard an evil presence was present, but that's another story. I'll write in another time. Thanks for a great show.
Well, it's hard to say if it's something tied to the house or something tied to an object within the house, or something tied to the land, but I think it is something, honestly. with the kitchen cabinets. And I know it's important that they noted it was a two-story home, because I can just imagine the mom and the baby are upstairs and she hears somebody in the house downstairs. And it's kind of like, what do you do then? So I don't know. Between that and, you know, the opening of the door and not really having an explanation for the sounds of the footprints, I think there's something paranormal going on, but it doesn't sound particularly dark. It sounds just more like your run-of-the-mill ghost.
Mm-hmm. Kind of, you know, just gonna slam some doors, make some creaks, make some footsteps, and call it a day.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it continues to escalate. But I would love to hear more of the stories, because sometimes once we can kind of connect some dots between stories, sometimes it starts to put more perspective and sense on them.
Mm-hmm.
But just knowing what we know on that one, it's really hard to draw a ton of conclusions there. I guess that's a case where the best case scenario did happen, and it was something paranormal and not a burglar in their house.
Yeah.
I think I would take that any day. How about you? What would you take if you were... you are in, because we don't have a two-story, well, if you consider the basement, well, let's just say you're upstairs, okay?
Okay.
Like on the regular floor. And then you hear, and you know the kids are gone,
mm-hmm.
and you know, at school or something. It's just you in the house. And you start to hear noises going on downstairs, and you know it's not the dog, because the dog's with you, mm-hmm. and I'm not there. What's the best case scenario there? Someone breaking into the house or a ghost? What would you rather have?
I would think in that case, probably a ghost, because the chances of the ghost actually hurting me are not as great.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, I'm going to continue to be haunted, whether it's a ghost or whether it's somebody breaking in. It's going to scare me forever.
Sure.
Thankfully, knock on wood, I've never had an intruder mm-hmm. while I've been home, or even while I haven't been home. I've never sure. had that. So I think if that were to happen to me, I'd be worried about that forever.
Sure.
Constantly.
Which would be a natural mm-hmm. thing. Now, what if you went downstairs?
Okay, I don't want to play this game.
And it had glowing red eyes. We're now escalating the level of the ghost.
We're not going to play this game.
Would you rather Ghost Edition?
No.
855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. Be sure to press the subscribe button, whatever platform you listen to us on. That helps us climb those charts. We greatly appreciate that, and you get the episodes sent directly to you as they are released. So not a bad deal for either of us there. Chantel writes in, a few years ago, I was house-sitting for my cousin while she and her family were on holiday in Thailand. On their return, I was talking to her husband in the kitchen. He asked me if everything went smoothly. I said yes, except that there was one thing that kind of spooked me. Before I got to say anything else, he stopped me and asked if I was talking about the roller blind cord in the pool room. And I was. Here's the story. One night, I was watching TV in the lounge room. To the left of that room was a small area separated by a half wall. The only thing in that room was a pool table and cues. The room also had four windows, each about 2 meters by 2 meters. Each window had a roller blind that you could raise or lower by pulling on a beaded cord. One night, while I was watching TV, my attention was drawn to that room. It wasn't a sound or movement that had caught my attention, but just an impulse. As soon as I walked into the room, I noticed the blind cord to the first window on my left was spinning around in a clockwise direction. I stood in front of the window for a few minutes, just looking at the cord and waiting for it to stop, but it didn't. I tried to debunk what I was seeing, but the seals on the window were all intact and firmly in place. It wasn't even windy outside, and the cat was on the opposite side of the house. I grabbed the cord to make it stop, and once I did, I went back to watching TV. After having this discussion with my cousin's husband, I brought it up with my cousin one night over dinner at the local pub. She just smiled and said that it was our Nana and Grandpa who had both passed. I made a joke that when we got back to her place, I would stand in front of the window and call out to them to make the cord swing. She was a little unsettled by the idea, so when we got to her place, I waited until she was in another room for trying my experiment. Lo and behold, the cord started swinging as soon as I asked them. I should probably mention at this point that they were both Italian, because that comes into play with a couple of other incidents in that house. My cousin once told me that when my dad, her uncle, would drop by unannounced just before he would arrive, to the smell of Italian cuisine filling the house, so she always knew when he was coming. On another occasion, my cousin picked me up in front of the hospital after I'd had a small procedure. She left me to nap on the couch while she went to pick up her kids from school. While she was gone, every time I lay down, I got that same smell of Italian cuisine that she described. When I sat up, the smell would disappear. After a few times of lying down and sitting back up, I eventually stayed upright.
So they were asking the grandparents to come and make the cord move, and then the cord would move?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, whether it's the grandparents or not, anything that does something on command, I think, is kind of dangerous.
But it makes Italian cuisine.
No, it makes the smell of Italian
cuisine. That's true. So. Not quite the same. It's like a Glade plug-in.
Yeah. Lasagna plug-in.
The lasagna ghost.
Wow. I don't know. I don't think I'd be asking something to, you know, other than asking it to leave, I don't think I'd be asking it, hey, do this.
Yeah, that's one of those things where it's not necessarily ever recommended to try and interact with the ghost.
Unless you're asking it to leave.
Yeah. Or you're prepared for it to be not exactly what you think it may be. It may be what you think it is, or it may not. You really don't know. It's just kind of a door you better be prepared to open.
Of all things, a cord on a blind. That's, mm-hmm. that's just so funny. I guess that's maybe just the only thing around that it had enough energy to manipulate.
I mean, it seems like a fairly manipulable object for something that doesn't have a lot of strength,
mm-hmm.
you know? So that seems to make sense of all the things, you know. It's not asking you to open the blinds.
Yeah.
But just manipulate it. So, yeah, I mean, very interesting, interesting story. I don't know if I'd ask it to leave. I would just say, hey, please don't freak me out anymore. I don't want to see you. Don't move the cord. But you can keep making the ghost food all you want. When people smell things like that of perfume or food, that, mm-hmm. that does happen like that. Does that mean that those ghosts are consuming this stuff on the other side, that they're actually making these items? Or are they just able to essentially on demand project these scents out there? Because what makes sense to me is like the perfume or something.
Mm-hmm.
It's something someone wears.
Yeah.
You know, it's like it's kind of becomes almost a part of the person. A lasagna, never exactly a part of the person.
No, but if you're... you know, an Italian family that enjoys that, like an Italian grandma.
Sure.
She's cooking it all the time.
Sure.
She's going to have a little bit of that smell, just like...
On her at all times?
You know, if you cook enough things sure. over and over, your clothes are going to smell like it.
She's permanently permeated with garlic and to the afterlife.
Well, I'm not going to say that, but you know what I mean.
Sure. Now, when it's that much a normal... practice.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost residual.
Yes.
Too.
I think that's actually probably more what it is.
Yeah.
So
more of like an imprint into the home
mm-hmm.
of this is what happens. And because it's interesting on tomorrow's show, I talk with Joshua P. Warren about some of this stuff and the residual hauntings and imprint hauntings, which are the same thing essentially. And in a lot of his studies, what he has found out and is still really shocked by is that objects seem to, for whatever reason, inanimate objects, from what he's been able to test, can retain some sort of energy. And sometimes they can retain way more than you would think, and they don't know why or how or why sometimes it pulsates.
Mm-hmm.
He used an example of like, you know, a kid's teddy bear. There should be no reason when he's examining the teddy bear and studying it with, you know, equipment that can measure energy and such, that it should be pulsating.
Okay.
It's one thing if it's like holding a charge of some sort,
mm-hmm.
but it's one thing if it's like pulsating and actually moving,
mm-hmm.
you know, not like moving its arms up and down, but it's showing like an actual, there's something cycling in it.
Okay.
That's what I wonder with some of the things like the food,
mm-hmm.
where if the environment had been, and this is maybe just completely out there and I don't know what the hell I'm talking about, but it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
in an environment that had those things going on, the cooking of Italian food all the time. Could the environment just be so absorbed into that as a repeated pattern that at some point it then releases, it gets into a cycle, and then those smells end up being emitted from other objects for weird small periods of time? You know what I mean?
I don't know. I think it's more just along the lines of just a basic residual.
Yeah.
Just like a sound or something.
Sure. And that's what I think it all plays into that.
Now, I could see the teddy bear having a cycling charge like that, because that's something that a lot of energy and love was put into by some child carrying that around, it probably being a favorite, beloved item.
Yeah.
You know, and I think you send enough to it, it's going to hold it.
Sure. An interesting thing, we talk on the show tomorrow about Robert the Doll.
Mm-hmm.
And very interesting thoughts on that and what that doll experienced, including being paraded through towns. And this is years and years and years and years ago. And people just, it was like an insult Robert the Doll Day.
Oh.
And all the negative emotions just supercharged at it from people.
Mm-hmm.
And if that has something to do with its antics, if you will.
Could be.
But we'll talk about that more tomorrow. Really interesting, interesting conversation on that. Marriott writes in, I've had tons of paranormal experiences growing up. My parents and their parents have as well. We like to jokingly call it the ghost gene. And although I have had many paranormal experiences, I was fortunate enough to not have a negative experience until I was 15 years old. It was a weekend, so I didn't have any school, and my parents were both out of town for work. I'd stayed by myself on the weekend numerous times, so I wasn't worried. I was lying in bed reading and had my radio playing in the background. As I was reading, I heard something say my name. This caught my attention because I have a rather unusual name. I assumed that I just shared the same name as a person being interviewed on the radio show. I thought nothing about it and picked my book up. Not even 5 seconds after I picked up the book, I heard my name called again, but louder this time. My bedroom was in the basement and the house was really old, so whenever someone moved upstairs, I always heard it, so I knew no one was home. I put my book down, got out of bed, and as I got up, I heard it again, and again. Someone was repeating my name, getting so loud to the point where they were screaming. The progression was rather quick enough that it had gone from a speaking tone to screaming by the time I had crossed the room to open my bedroom door. I turned the handle to open and attempted to open it, but it wouldn't open. My door didn't lock, so at this point I knew someone was pushing my door to keep it closed. I shoved it hard, and it opened a tiny bit before a force pushed back against it, closing it again. I have two doors to leave my room. The other leads to an office, so I ran to that door, only to be unable to open that door as well. At this point, I was terrified. Whatever it was still screaming my name in my bedroom. Again, I threw my full body weight into the door. And as soon as my body came into contact with the door, my body became freezing. I just fell to the floor and I passed out. When I woke up, it was about 4 hours later and my entire house was wrecked. Everything in the entire house was thrown on the floor. Books across the room from the bookshelves on the floor, bed linens ripped off all the beds. The house was a total disaster. Needless to say, I spent the remainder of my weekend cleaning the house. I have tons of stories and many more about that, I'm quite certain. He's the same entity that I would love to share. I love your show.
Would you have cleaned it up, or would you have left it for your parents to see?
I probably would have left it. I'm sure they wouldn't believe me.
Really?
But I would have left it.
I would have left it and said, you know, I didn't do this.
Mm-hmm.
This is what happened while you were gone. And just so that I had some like evidence.
Sure.
To show that there's something definitely bad going on.
Yeah. I think, I mean, it depends on your parents, but I don't think it's a win either way for the kid.
Yeah, that's true. And it depends on, I mean, I was a real good kid to a fault.
Mm-hmm.
And I pretty well could have gotten away with anything because my parents wouldn't have believed I did it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
If I had done it. But I would have left it, knowing that they would not have thought that I did it.
Sure. I think it kind of depends on the parents.
Yeah.
And the kid, you know, is the kid, I didn't do that, you know, and they, you know, kids do that,
mm-hmm.
you know, or like in your case, you know, normally never do anything, you know, like that. So it would be extremely out of character.
Mm-hmm.
I think it really depends. I don't think I would have won that, because if I did clean it up and took care of it and then just shared the story, yeah, it's a great story,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then you're just kind of stuck believing it with no evidence. If you left it, I would be in trouble for, you know, leaving it and the assumption that it was me who did it.
Yeah.
So, not a win-win.
No, it's not.
Either way. But, interesting story. Thank you for sharing that with us. 855-853-4802 is our number. Donna writes, "In my first husband and I were out riding on a motorcycle one evening. He turned down a little path that led to an old pond that he said they used to fish in when he was younger. There was an old cabin there that looked like it had been abandoned for many years. No windows or doors. It was very romantic. As we were leaving, I felt a terrible dread. I guess you can call it that. Like something was right on my back. Never felt anything physical, but it was like something was just right over my shoulder, so close. I never felt it, and I was so scared. I just held on to the back of my husband, and when we got a few miles down the road, the feeling dissipated. I've had that feeling many times since then. Sometimes I think I see something, but when I turn to look, nothing is there. One time late, about 1 or 2, maybe later, I was sitting in the living room reading. The refrigerator motor came on, and in that instance, when the motor came on, I heard, 'I see you.' It was so plain, but in the motor hum sound, I know it sounds weird, and I just laid it to imagination and Stephen King, but then I started listening to your show, and I don't feel like that anymore. I really believe something has been watching me ever since that night by the pond. And I believe that it's something else talked to me using the energy of the electric motor on the fridge."
Do you think maybe something went home with them?
My ice cube tray talks to me a lot. No, I could see that, and I think entities do use things mm-hmm. like that. I don't think that's that far-fetched. It's essentially an energy source. It's no different than when people say that they're getting messages through a radio or an AM radio or a TV or something. It's an energy source that's trying to manipulate the sound waves.
Yeah.
And it's like talking through a fan.
Sure.
You know? So, I would think maybe something came home with him. That would be the logical explanation mm-hmm. to the events that took place in that story. That'd be creepy as hell.
It would be.
Having your fridge give you messages.
Yeah.
My other haunted fridge story was on, I think, Ghostbusters.
Okay.
That's the only one I can think of.
Sure.
But that's interesting. That's an interesting one. And it'd be great in a horror movie. Just all the like regular objects, inanimate objects being manipulated. Objects that give off noise being like a white noise type thing. Mm-hmm. Be interesting. Annie writes in, "Hi, I'm a pretty avid listener of your show, and when I was listening to one of your podcasts, I remembered an encounter that I had. Now, I don't know if this was real or if it's just hallucinating, but I'll just tell you what happened. To preface this, over the years, I've seemed to have some sort of connection with animals. Not like a psychological connection, but more like an emotional connection. Animals, especially dogs, listen to me pretty well and act pretty darn happy when they're around me. Sorry if that sounds conceited. For example, I was the only one in my family who was able to train our dogs to sit, lie down, come, shake, stay, and take food gently so she didn't gnaw her fingers off. She's one of the most stubborn dogs I've ever met, and I pets it a lot. Anyway, when I was around 8 or 9, my best friend and I were dropped off at a local ice cream parlor. We live in a small town, and there were a good few people around, so kidnapping wasn't something to really worry about. We got our ice cream and ate it outside the store, doing whatever 9-year-olds do, maybe 10 or 15 minutes later. Her grandfather came by in his car to pick us up. My friend threw her ice cream cup in the trash before running to the car, and I topped mine off before throwing it in with hers. Started running after when I got the compelling feeling to look behind. You know when you're going to take a picture, but your arm moves or something, and the picture comes out like you're looking through the eyes of someone with double vision, you know? Everything looks like it's been copied and pasted over itself and moved slightly. When I turned around, I saw a dog that looked like that, not even 5 feet behind me. It had a sort of rainbowy colored aura around it, and its tongue was lolling out of its mouth, and it seemed to be staring at me. I could tell that it was running, even though I never really saw it move. It was like I was looking at burst shots through a camera. I remember it so well because, frankly, it scared the shit out of me. My heart jumped into my throat and I ran so damn fast to that car. I'll never forget that moment. I told my friend, but she didn't believe me, and neither did her grandpa. I told my parents too, but I don't think they believed me either. Now, it was a hot summer day, and I don't know if I was hallucinating, but I saw what I saw, and I truly believe it was something supernatural. Thanks.
I wonder if, when you hallucinate, do people see auras?
I don't know.
I know some people can see auras anyway, and then some people can never see them. But it'd be one thing to start seeing double and seeing everything double, but just to see the one dog in double vision, that's kind of suspicious.
It almost sounds like a time shift thing,
mm-hmm.
you know, where it was like two pieces of time slightly getting out of sync
mm-hmm.
and overlapping. And we lightly touch on that. We don't really get into that a whole lot on the show because it's not technically a ghost thing. But here it's one of those things where it essentially can be confused for a ghost thing, maybe an explanation for hauntings.
Sure.
Or someone seeing something that's not right
mm-hmm.
in the environment. And I wonder if that was the case with that. That's what I kind of get the feeling of.
Okay.
But an interesting story. I don't know. I don't know if I'd want to see the aura of everyone or have that ability.
Yeah.
I think it'd be kind of creepy. I could be wrong. You know, mm-hmm. it may be one of those things where maybe there's a lot more good than... I guess I pessimistically like to think. But I feel like if I would be walking around, I'd be like totally like a pinball in a pinball machine, just bouncing everywhere to avoid the bad auras that are all around us.
I don't know much about auras, so I was curious. Is that something that essentially is always with you as far as what color it is? Or is that something that changes depending on how you're feeling? Kind of like a mood ring.
I think our auras change,
mm-hmm.
And I think other people's change. So, I mean, mood ring would be a perfect example. So it really, I think you could be white one day and you could be red another.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so could anyone else or whatever colors the spectrum projects. I think it kind of more so of like an infrared camera.
Okay.
You know, or the heat sensing where it's like a big spectrum of colors. But I guess pessimistically, I just kind of feel like I'd be seeing a lot of whatever the negative color is. I would assume it's red
mm-hmm.
or something along those lines. And I think I would just be, I'm not going to go over there. Not going to. And I would just, I don't know. It'd make me more of a hermit than I already am.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Thank you for writing in. 855-853-4802. Sarah writes in, I'd forgotten about this experience until my cousins and I were talking about the old house my grandparents lived in before they moved to a bigger place. They lived in a small one-story that had four bedrooms. One of the rooms was converted into a large TV playroom for the grandkids, and my cousins and I would play in there, but none of us ever wanted to stay the night. I remember only staying there maybe twice, and I always needed to sleep with someone with me. When the lights would go out or you were alone in the house, you could feel a man staring at you from the playroom. My cousin and I were sleeping in the playroom, and as soon as my grandfather turned the lights off, I felt like I had someone standing over me, staring at me. I didn't feel it. The cousin that was there told me later on that he felt the same thing. Her family took over the house after our grandparents moved out and said she experienced even more. And she told me that it even increased when her mother died. It got so very bad that they had to move out. I don't know what she or her siblings went through, but she told me that she wouldn't sleep there again. We often wonder if the people who bought the house experience anything or if the thing left. We hope they blessed the house, honestly, so no one can feel that thing again. I'm sorry the story isn't as exciting as my previous ones, and if I can get my cousin to share her story with you all, I will. Thanks.
I'm assuming nothing followed him and that ended there.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. It makes you wish you could go back and ask the people that bought it, hey, you ever have anything? Because if they don't, then they're going to be, you know, second-guessing everything that's happening from that point forward.
Sure. There's so many things that it'd be fun to go back. I'm surprised it doesn't happen more often, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And not just paranormally, but just, you know, people curious about their previous residences, and we've talked about this before. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm surprised it's not a more common occurrence, you know, of just people, hey, I used to live here. Can I just take a look? I'm just curious. I mean, not that it would be all that safe to start letting strangers into homes.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is an idea.
Oh, no.
This is an idea for a business. You are a matchmaker for people who want to visit their childhood homes.
Okay.
Or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Although that could totally get turned into, like, used, you know, by criminals in a way.
Yeah.
Unless you can do like a background check on them. I don't know.
Nobody's going to take there was, on that liability.
If there was a way to do it, I could see a service where you contact the service and it's, you know, a fee, and you can say, you know, I'm willing to pay X amount to take a tour of my childhood home. And then this service essentially then does the research to contact the homeowner of the address or the owner of the address, and they have the credentials of saying, hey, we're from this service. You can read about us here. You can see what we do, and, you know, we're a legitimate company.
Mm-hmm.
And you get all that set up. We have a client who grew up in your home, and what we do is we let them, we're a service to match to allow them just to see the home again. It's just a, you know, emotional thing. It's nothing more than that. You have someone that's guiding them through at a tour, like one of our professionals come with them or something. I don't know. You'd have to have like a branch in every city, but theoretically, this is the idea.
Uh-huh.
And then, and they're willing to pay a fee for your time to let them go take a quick 15-minute tour. They're willing to pay you $150 or something. I don't know. You know. And then essentially the service just negates the whole process or negotiates the process with the homeowner. So you're not like the stranger calling up, I used to live there. Can I go check it? We're this professional service. This is what we have. This is a weird call, I know, but would you be interested? And it either, if the arrangement works, it makes money. If not, you know, the person gets their money back minus some fee for the negotiating or attempting. Not a bad idea.
Or you can do what normal people do and just wait for that house to go on the market.
Well, sure.
Just check on it every so often. I do that because I'm so curious what my childhood home looks like. I just, if I get a feeling, I just randomly check.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you what, here's how my radar works. I had a feeling the other day that I should just check and see if it's for sale, just to see it, because I just want to do the virtual tour. I don't even want to go in.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they have an open house, then sure. The temptation would be too great. It was not for sale, but the house next door was for sale.
Okay.
And the thing is, these homes out in the country, they sit on large acreage back up to a lake, and they don't come on the market very often at all. They're mm-hmm. not like some of your, you know, middle neighborhoods, you know, kind of like what we have.
Yeah, where it's like constantly some houses up for sale.
Yeah, it's not like that at all. It's like it takes a while. And so that's why I've been checking for like the last 12 years
mm-hmm.
to see what the inside looks like now.
Sure.
But there was one for sale. It was next door. It was wrong. It was not the right one.
Were you ever in that house next door?
No, it didn't exist when I lived
there. Oh, okay. And it was like a friend's house or something. That'd be fun to see too.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, it's not a crazy idea. Is it? I don't know. I mean, I think logistically it's nearly impossible to set up.
Yeah.
But, and I think what you'd honestly get, and you're exactly right. I waited for a sale of my childhood home until I was three that I lived in. When that went up for sale, I went and toured it.
Mm-hmm.
And this was 10, 15 years ago. And that was really neat. It was an emotional, neat experience as an adult to go back and see that. But, so I think a lot of people do that, but what about you know, someone who's really old or has a terminal illness who's not going to be able to wait for that to come back
mm-hmm.
Onto the market? I think that may be, it's almost like a make-a-wish,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Where it's like, I just want to go see this one more time. I don't have a whole lot of time left. I can't wait for this to go on the market. I think there could be a market for that there. I don't know. And it's not that you're trying to make money off of people who are dying.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's a service you're providing. And it's not like I don't think you set it up with crazy, ridiculous fees, but you have to make it worth the homeowner's mm-hmm. while to do it. And then you have to make a fee to manage the time of doing it.
Sure.
I don't know. We just invented a whole new business.
It's probably already out there.
So someone's going to send us a link.
Demon Away and Ghost in the Jar.
Exactly. Every time I think I have this great idea, it's like, oh, Tony, here it is.
Yeah.
So, all right. On with the ghost stories. Mary writes, and hello, I was listening to the Hard Feelings episode and heard Jenny question if children visit before they are born and wanted to share my mother's story about that very topic. When pregnant with my younger sister, my mother woke up one night to find a small boy, perhaps 2 or 3 years old, next to her bed looking at her. My grandma told her it was her baby coming to check out her new mommy. Nothing else happened, and a few months later she gave birth to my sister, and she didn't think about the incident again. However, when my sister was 3, she was bit by a dog, and the doctors had to shave her head for stitches. When my mom saw her, she realized that's the little boy by my bed. It was years later when she told me about it and was still in awe over it. My sister lived a tragic, I'm not sure that's the right word, life that culminated in her murder when she was 27. Maybe she visited to see if we were strong enough for what was coming.
What do you call that?
It happens a lot.
It does, but what do you even call that?
I think there is a term.
Okay.
I don't know what it is. It was interesting. You know, whenever we talk with like ghost hunters in the field, there's a lot of terms that get thrown out there that I think a lot of them use.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what? But okay. But I don't know what that one would be.
Okay.
I wonder how you coin those terms. Are you like the first one to like identify, okay, if it's looks like it has glowing red eyes and it was, it also resembles your future child, it's called this. But if it just looks like your future child without the glowing red eyes, it's called that. You know, maybe if you get really specific with what it is, then you can make it up.
Okay.
It's like naming a hurricane. You spot it, you get to name it.
Is that how it works?
I don't know.
I don't think that's how it works.
I don't think that's how it works anymore.
No.
But like with medicine, it is, isn't it? Like if you have a certain medicine, you come up with it, you're the person behind it, you get to name the drug?
No.
Disease? Disease.
Yeah, disease.
If you're the first one with the disease, you get to name the disease.
I think the Weather Service has a list of names for hurricanes before the season even begins.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They don't play like Scrabble or something?
No.
What's the one where you shake the lettered dice? Is that Boggle?
I don't know.
And then they have to all land and you have to see if it spells a word or something. I think that's how they should start naming storms. Be really totally horrible, bizarre names. T writes, and hi guys, I love your show. I wanted to share another little story of my own. In 2012, my grandma became very ill and passed away while she was in the hospital. I visited her. She was on morphine because she was in a lot of pain and this would cause her to hallucinate. My grandpa and uncle told me she saw bugs on the walls, but what happened when I was there, I'll never forget. She was heavily medicated and would go in and out of consciousness. I gave her water and combed her hair, and she would talk to me about my cats. When she was resting, I was sitting in the room with her and my uncle. She woke up and said, "Oh, T, when did you get here?" My uncle, thinking she meant me because my name is the same name, softly reminded her that I had been there for some time. He looked at me and smiled, and we started to shrug it off when she replied, "No, he hasn't been around for a while." My grandma passed away the next morning. I was named after my dad. Her youngest son had passed away 28 years ago. Thank you for reading my story. This is also the same grandma who sent in a tweet to Twitter, LOL. I hope you were able to read my response to your questions regarding that story. I have a few other stories that actually go along with this period in my life, and I'll share those at a later time. Have a great day, and keep up the good work. Tea.
Do you remember that was the "she's not the one" or some kind of tweet that went through?
Yeah. I do remember that.
I can't remember the exact wording, but the girlfriend got a hold of it and it was bad news.
I love that.
I know.
Now, was she dead or alive when that happened?
No, that was after she was gone.
Yeah. So it was like a ghostly tweet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember
but
that.
You know, the story alludes that she was seeing T's father.
Yeah.
And not T. So.
That's such an interesting point in time for people in that state. And I think there's a mixture of things that go on there.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a mixture of just natural hallucinations, the mind firing the wrong things at the wrong time, that are completely not paranormal. You know, would feel totally weird for the person there. And then I think there's also somewhat of a window beginning to open where there are paranormal things starting to then interact. It gets ridiculously confusing for that person because they don't know what's the hallucination, what really is the other side. And certainly the people out there observing and essentially just hearing what's going on from that individual experiencing it, they're just going to think everything's a hallucination until sometimes you get actual things going on in the room that are beyond the control of what the person is talking about.
Sure.
Which happens quite a bit. But it's such an odd period. You know, I don't know. It's like a horrible acid trip or something. You know, I don't know. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online.
Hey, what's up? This happened about, I would say about 3 months ago. And I was just coming back home from Nebraska because I travel cross country in the United States. I got a call from my cousin said that my grandma's twin sister passed away. So we go over there. We come back from California and the whole family's there. And we decided to bury her in Alaska. My grandma and her twin sister are very, very close. So we decided to tell her after the funeral because she has dementia and she's slowly forgetting her memory. And you know, we don't wanna tell her until the funeral. So anyways, you know, the funeral goes really well and we bury her in Anchorage. So me and my cousin and another cousin, we were given a task to go back home and break the news to grandma. So we go back home to grandma and we told grandma, hey, what are you doing? And you know, she sees us, she goes, oh my goodness, I haven't seen you guys, you know, in months. And goes, yeah, I know, how's everything? So, you know, we're chit-chatting. And we told grandma, hey, your twin sister, Gloria, passed away. And she looked at us and she goes, that's really impossible. And I was like, why? She goes, she was here last night. I was like, what do you mean last night? Well, her, she came by here and she was dressed in a white gown. A white gown with black socks and she was wearing these slippers. And it's a funny thing because the exact same gown she was wearing during the open funeral casket was the exact same thing she was it's exact same clothes. And you know, at this point, me and my cousin are looking at each other, and we were surprised. And I told her, and you know, I pulled my cousin to my side and said, "Hey, maybe grandma is, you know, hallucinating. Maybe this is what happens to dementia." And she, and you know, I told her did Grandma Gloria come to visit you? Well, she came by here at about 2 o'clock yesterday. And then my cousin looked at me again and she whispered in my ear and she said, this is the exact time that we buried her at 2 o'clock. How long was she here? Oh, she was here for about 25 minutes. You know, we had a catch on from something, you know, catch on because I haven't seen her. She said they haven't seen each other for what, about a year or two? And usually they communicate with telephone or they call each other. So I told her, are you sure you saw her? She goes, yeah, I'm sorry, that's impossible. She, you know, I saw her and she even sat down next to me and we watched TV. And he goes, I said, what time did she leave? She's like around 2:30. And, you know, my cousin's brother, my other cousin came up to me, goes, this is the exact time that, you know, we buried Grandma Gloria. So at this point, you know, me and my cousin are you know, we're kind of skeptical about this. And, you know, his sister's, you know, into the paranormal. And maybe she stopped by to our grandma. And to this, you know, what, 3 months ago? 3 months ago, and my cousin called me, you know, to call your hotline because we experienced this. So thank you. This is what I have to share.
Thank you for calling in and sharing your story with us. What do you make of that?
I don't think there's much to add to it. There's no way this poor lady who just lost her sister would have been able to have been there and known what the sister wore at the funeral.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, with dementia, it's so hard to know exactly what's going on in that person's mind.
Sure.
But knowing exactly what was worn, I think, is the tell that something happened.
Yeah, there was a visit that definitely did occur there. That was a really good story. Thank you for calling in and sharing the story. And was it his brother that turned him on to the show, or friend, or?
I don't remember if it was brother or cousin.
But thank them for doing that. We really do appreciate that very, very much. Great show today. Great stories. If you guys have a story you want to share with us, give us a call, 855-853-4802, or write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you like the show and you'd be interested in it continuing into the future, well, become an EPP. That's how we keep the show going. That's the extra podcast person. You get a bonus episode of the show every single week and access to some exclusive video content. Great stuff as a thank you for being an EPP. Right now, 40-some bonus episodes instantly yours when you sign up to be an EPP on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. It is only $5 per month, so please consider keeping the show on the air. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.